from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Carl Lawson, Jordan Phillips, and now more beef up front as the NFL Network reports that the Dallas Cowboys are giving Linval Joseph a deal worth up to $4 million. It reunites him with defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer. So Linval Joseph at the age of 35 in his 14th NFL season. He's going to be putting on the Dallas Cowboys uniform.
Yeah, $4 million. That's a guy you plan to use. That's not somebody who's going to just, you know, show up and be a game day inactive or probably even a rotational piece. That sounds like he's your one technique. He is your gap filler, which makes me wonder, is that just a flat out indictment of where they think Mozzie Smith is at right now? Or is that... No, Mike Zimmer just wanted his guy, and we gave him his guy.
I kind of asked Broadus this yesterday. I'm going to ask you as well. You did get caught off mic during the draft show, showing your true thoughts.
That was not off mic.
Everyone discovered and saw.
Not a hot mic.
How much of your draft eval of Mozzie Smith are you regretting or feeling bad about right now as an evaluator?
I thought... Okay, so I did not, when we can go back and pull them. I was not.
Are you thinking about the audio, the off mic audio?
I was not. No, that was Guyton, I thought. I was not a.
Oh, you hated Guyton too.
No. I liked Guyton. I was not a fan of Mozzie Smith. I think if you go back to the
Why
day of the draft.
Why are you stuttering a stammer so much?
Because if you go back to the day of the draft and you pulled the audio, we said, you asked me what's the best case scenario for the pick tonight. And I don't remember who I said, but I vividly remember when you asked me what would be the worst case scenario. And I said, probably someone like Mozzie Smith. And it was because of what he was right then, which is a raw player, the limited ability as a pass rusher, and just kind of how he fit into a very tight, narrow box that for a team that had a lot of needs, I thought you could find somebody who maybe they're a little less as a run stopper, but they can give you other things that makes them an overall better player and gives you more on the defensive line. When they picked him, I was like, all right, fine. At least you got an NFL-ready run stopper, like somebody who's going to be above average immediately in that respect. That's where my evaluation was wrong. I was not a giant fan of what Mozzie was at the time, but as a run stopper, I thought immediately he'd be good at that. I thought he would be that was the most disappointing thing is – what you got in the first two rounds from the two different guys that you drafted from Michigan and what you thought they could be in the run game. You thought Luke Schoonmaker would be able to be a above average run blocker immediately. You thought Mozzie Smith was going to be an above average run stopper immediately. Neither one of those were that. And that's a problem. I think that he's been better in the last little bit. I thought in the game he played against the Rams, he looked good. I was really disappointed he wasn't out there for the Raiders to be able to see him continue that and build on that. And I think in the practices, he got better. It was small, it was incremental, but he got better.
Is this consistency thing that we've been talking about all training camp, this consistency problem, his ability not being good enough to win the next rep, or effort?
So effort and conditioning, would you consider those similar? Because yes. Brian thinks it's more of, because when I think of effort, I think of desire and the willingness and the motor to do it. Whereas Brian would probably say it's more about just his condition. Like, he gets gassed. Yeah. He can't pull anything else out of him. And he's just kind of maxed himself out here. So, but I mean, that conditioning is relates to, are you doing everything you're supposed to do? Do you have the drive to do what you're supposed to do during the training sessions and during the week? And he obviously lost all that weight last year. Was he on top of what he needed to be on top of? So there's clearly problems that he has Monday through Saturday that are then really affecting him on Sundays.
Make sure to join us tomorrow, by the way, in Sachse. I heard so much, my feelings were hurt, that you guys had an all-time turnout for the last Firehouse tour that I was not at. It was probably Eric Chiafalo's new haircut that brought everyone out. Where was the last one, Bobby?
We were in Glen Heights.
Tomorrow we're in Sachse with maybe the coolest fan giveaway that we've had with this Red Fan flask that we're kicking out. 6 a.m. start time. 6 a.m. start time tomorrow in Sachse up until 10, and we're going to feed you as well with Palmer's.
Yeah, it's Sachse Firehouse number one. So this is 5805 Bryan Street in Sachse, Texas. And if you haven't come out to these things, we're not in an ivory tower over here. So, like, if you want to come out, you want to chat with us about stuff, you want to tell us, hey, I thought this take you had was stupid, or you just want to talk to us about stuff with the show, behind the scenes stuff, get all the scoop, hear all the stories that whenever we say that's an off-air conversation, you can come up, you can get the off-air conversations, come out to Sachse. It's always a good time. We have fun with the firefighters, and I don't know who's going to step in. Is it going to be you tomorrow? Are you going to be doing all the choppy stuff of breaking down doors and things? I think you should.
Oh, I wanted to get Chia Follower Woolchuck, but crickets from the bosses. I never heard back anything. I was trying to get one of them to come out and join us live in person.
Do you think they're protecting our feelings and not letting us know that G-Bag said, no, we're aligning with our team after all the shots they took this morning? We don't want to be part of that toxicity.
The toxicity. All right, let's talk about who's going to improve and decline this upcoming NFL season. A Cat Williams ticket giveaway is coming up during the commercial-free expressway with the Neighborhood Watch.
Which would you like to start with, the improvement or the decline?
Which one are the Cowboys in?
Neither one.
Whoa!
Neither one. They
not a decline.
No, not a decline.
This is just regular season record?
Yeah, basically, you know, where you performed last season and how you might decline this year.
Let's go decline.
Okay, because I was going to say, the Cowboys are not in this. Between the two lists, the entire rest of the NFC East is. All right, so most likely to decline, beginning with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were 10-7 last year, but they were minus 20 in point differential. Their 2023 record in games decided by 7 or fewer points, which is the equivalent of the one-run victory, basically, in Major League Baseball. They were 9-2 in those games.
I cannot believe the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting this much play on national TV. I'm looking over here to my left. What must Russell Wilson do to win the Steelers' starting quarterback job? Who cares? Who cares? No one. Russell Wilson is done. Justin Fields stinks. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers... Look, I'm not totally stupid. I know that them, the Green Bay Packers, I kind of throw them in the same group. Are they still that big that they can get Dallas Cowboy type attention with a boring, non-existent offense?
I think last year really challenged it, and the last couple years have really challenged it. Post Roethlisberger era,
storyline. This is a 9-win, maybe best case scenario, 10-win team at best, with no chance to win a playoff game. Why are the Steelers getting talked about this much?
I will say it's
Mr. Unlimited.
It's fascinating that Russell Wilson would. That's not one of the words. It's fascinating that Russell Wilson is going to be playing in the final preseason game, like that kind of a fall to where he's gotten. So, I mean, I kind of get that angle of it, but otherwise there's not a lot about them. There was the Mike Tomlin standoff this offseason, and that's the biggest thing that Barnwell says. Barnwell says if you look at the Steelers and what they are, what all their peripherals say, there's no reason to believe, other than Mike Tomlin magic, that the Steelers will be able to do what they did again.
Yeah.
And he's like, Look, leave the Mike Tomlin aura out of the picture. There's no more obvious pick for a team's record who doesn't hold up under any sort of scrutiny. He says the Steelers will find it extremely difficult to win 10 games again if they play the way they did in 2023. They have the third toughest schedule in the league this year. There's just no track record for a team being able to do this year after year without eventually either improving their underlying performance dramatically or having their record fall back to earth. Number two on this list, this is wild that this is a team that's one of the top candidates for decline. The 6-11 New York Giants are a top team for decline. Their point differential was minus 141, but they were 4-3 in games that were decided by seven or less. They have the 14th easiest schedule in the NFL. But Barnwell writes that it's time for another repeating team on this list. But unlike the Steelers, the Giants lived down to our expectations last season. There was plenty of hype surrounding Daniel Jones and company this time a year ago, and the fan base seemed to fall into an argument that almost never goes well. If you're telling yourself that everything went wrong last year was fixed and everything that went right will keep happening, you're probably too optimistic about your team. He says, as scary as this might be for the fan base, they might have actually been a little lucky to even finish with six wins. Mm. That seems remarkable given that they lost a game in which they were up 3 points and attempting a 35-yard field goal with 28 seconds left against
with
the Jets.
With more Daniel Jones. I can buy that. I can buy the Steelers. I can buy the Giants winning less than six.
This one is this one might be a little controversial because it runs counter to what the analytics community normally thinks. This is a stable team to a lot of people. 13-4, a good chance at regression, the Baltimore Ravens. They were plus 203 last year. They were 3-4 in games by seven or less, which doesn't sound like a lot of extreme variance. Sounds like they're kind of hanging around where they need to be. They have the ninth toughest schedule in the league. He says the Ravens weren't secretly a bad team last season, and while anything's possible, we shouldn't project them to fall below 500. A lot of things have to go right for a team to be one of the best in history, though, and it's tough to count on those things going right year after year. Throw in a roster that is in transition after the Lamar Jackson contract extension, and there's enough to be skeptical that Baltimore will reclaim the AFC North again.
Well, fine. They can win a game or two less. We know that they're going to be a double-digit win team. But they're the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, and
wake me up.
He mentions there that they've had
an
unsustainable level of turnover differential in recent years that is not likely to continue. And he said, as good as Jackson is and as much as he's progressed, he said a career low interception trait or interception rate is not likely to repeat itself again. That's likely to go up. You're going to see more turnovers. You're going to see things kind of change up there. The fourth team on this list, another NFC East team, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Who were 11-6, but finished with a point differential of +5. You win five games over 500, and you are +5 on the season.
Well, that was one of your good calls. You kept calling the Eagles frauds, even when they were undefeated.
Sixth easiest schedule in the league this season. And they were 7-3 in games decided by a touchdown or less. It says, as it turns out, there's a third team from last year's list that did enough to qualify for the decline of things again. The Eagles already dropped from 14-3 in 2022 to 11-6 in 23, but the evidence suggests they were lucky to even come away with those 11 victories. While this is the most difficult projection of the bunch to parse, I'm concerned that they might still have some ground to cover before hitting bottom after their 28-5 stretch between the end of 21 and the halfway point of 2023. He says the Eagles were within a touchdown of being outscored last season. While they had some impressive victories in close games like the Bills, Chiefs, and Cowboys in narrow contests, that's not something we associate with teams that produce double-digit victories, even in the 17-game era. And then the final team on this list for Bill Barnwell, your week one opponent, the Cleveland Browns, who were 11-6 last year with a +34 point differential, eighth toughest schedule in the league. He says three AFC North teams. That seems like too many on this list, but it's not out of the question. Three teams in this division taking a step backward happened between 2020 and 2021. Remember, the Browns, Ravens, and Steelers all lost more games, opening things up for the Bengals to jump from worst to first and shock the AFC. He said the Browns were on the decline side of the list last season, and while it was a controversial pick given the hype they were getting at the time, it turned out to be accurate. The 2020 Browns had gone 11-5 with a negative point differential, and those sort of teams overwhelmingly decline the following season. The case isn't quite as strong for 2024, but there's still a tight point margin here, and there's too many issues with injuries and come back down to earth with a lot of their peripherals, especially on the pass rush side.
All right, so those are the teams most likely to decline. We'll do the teams most likely to improve. It's my favorite stat in all of sports. It's 5 or 6 now. New playoff teams every single year guaranteed in the NFL. Just part of the reason why they are absolutely loved so much. All right, I got a little special surprise guest during the Expressway. We're going to have a Cat Williams ticket giveaway. And I do want to ask this question from yesterday. Are we giving the Rangers a championship pass for this year? I feel like there's not a... Not that it's necessarily a bad thing. We don't have to be angry East Coast all the time, right? Or ever. Are we really angry at this championship defense that has obviously failed from your Texas Rangers? The commercial-free expressway with the Neighborhood Watch as well, coming up with Sean and Bobby.
Turns to Butt. No. A Butcher Boy lines it to Lowe, who makes the catch. And he.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beats McKinney back to first. You almost never see that. Kiner Falefa faking the bunt and then slapping at Chafin's pitch, and he hit it to the right side, but Lowe was just positioned perfectly as he was coming in on the bunt, was able to make the catch on the sinking low liner, and then won a foot race back to first, so a big-time double play.
Jared Sandler with the call that's almost as long as a Kevin Hagelin tease. Good morning, Metroplex. Commercial-free Expressway on DFW Sports Station. I'm busting Jared's balls because I know that he's listening. They have won 3 of 4. They got a series win, but they didn't get Andrew Heaney any more run support. Wyatt Langford with another walk-off win. We are your home of the World Series champs with a Cat Williams ticket giveaway coming up this hour where we are commercial-free with the Neighborhood Watch. I brought this up yesterday and I wanted to get to it today. If you want to leave your voicemails and thoughts via our Odyssey app, you can do it, and we'll play it here during the Thursday show. RJ Choppy out for the rest of the week in Michigan on golf vacay. Are we angry at the Rangers and their season? I haven't felt that. I'm not necessarily saying you need to be, right? We know in Boston and Philadelphia they'd be burning it down. Are we giving a championship pass? Have we been mildly frustrated? I definitely sense a lack of like anger and rage that the champs came out and played like this to be 10 games back in the American League West. I don't get any tweets calling out Chris Young, going off on Bruce Bochy. They just getting that championship Teflon treatment. Is it a baseball thing here, Josh Hamilton? Have we been as angry as you thought at this year? I don't think so.
Not angry, at least for myself, and I don't think a lot of other people, not angry, disappointed for sure. And
if we have like a diehard, true diehard baseball town, which we don't, Josh Hamilton was unfortunately right about that. Should we be angrier to hold them to a standard after they just won the title? Or in the back of our minds somewhere, are we saying, we went on a hell of a run to get that title?
Look, you play that out 100 times that postseason, the Rangers are not winning that World Series 100 times. Like, that's just not happening. I think that it was a perfect storm that came together and gave them all sorts of advantages that you wouldn't normally be able to bank on. You're not going 11-0 in the postseason. Like, there's a reason that's never been done before, even by like the greatest teams in the history of baseball. So that's one side of it. I will say they arrived a year early. Like, they were supposed to start competing around now. And so the fact that they arrived early, I think that's the biggest part of this, is people felt like, man, if they started now and they weren't supposed to compete till 24 and then into 25, we're looking at potentially being able to set up being a real dominant force. So that's the most disappointing aspect of it, is that you feel like maybe specifically on offense, some of what you saw last year was a flash in the pan and it was smoke and mirrors, and you're not actually, those aren't the good representations of who those players legitimately are at the plate, like Jonah Heim and Adolis Garcia and guys like that.
Because the Cowboys won the title, and then what would be the equivalent of this? They were...
Cowboys won the title,
and
then they went...
7-7?
They went... Yeah, at this point in the season, similarly...
7-9?
They were something along the lines of, right now, they were 6-8 going down the stretch in a bad division.
We'd be flipping out.
Yeah, but I think everybody holds the Cowboys to a different standard. People flip out at the Cowboys when they don't win, regardless of what just happened. I don't think anybody's giving the Cowboys a pass if they win a Super Bowl next year.
I want to ask Rangers insider play-by-play voice Jared Sandler joining us live on the D&M Leasing Hotline. A little bit of a surprise topic here. Wanted to bring you in, Sam, man. Do you think that Ranger fans are angry at this season? How would you describe the interactions that you have on a daily basis covering the team and interacting?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's anger. I think there's really just more like disappointment, because if you think about it, the Rangers spent 6 years basically playing in the irrelevant sandbox, right? You know, they not only did they not make the playoffs, but they weren't really close. And all right, well, that's all, you know, in an effort to try and build up and have a nice run of sustained success. And you know, last year was a surprise, and that it just kind of popped at once with a World Series. But, you know, I think that a lot of people were of the expectation and hope that last year was year one of a several year run in which the Rangers would be like some of these other major market franchises who, you know, appear in the playoffs every single year. And it doesn't mean that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we're not going to look back and say, yeah, the Rangers spent, you know, most of that time in the playoffs. But I mean, it's understandable if there's some frustration or concern that after what happened last year to follow it up with this year, that, you know, that might not be the case. And so I think that's, to me, to the fans who, like, they're legitimate, you know, they follow the Rangers every day. I think that's the prevailing sentiment is, yeah, there's obviously anger, I guess, but not, I heard you just a second ago comparing it to the Cowboys. I don't think it's like the anger that comes attached to the Cowboys when they have that type of a season. I think with the Rangers, it's more of a frustration.
Because we didn't have a chance to get mad at the 2012 Mavs season because they dismantled the team, right? It was like, it was anger at the front office for not giving them a chance to repeat. And I heard Corey Seager say the other day, he felt like this losing season more frustrating than even his first year here. But I don't know, I was just curious because I never got any type of John Daniels-esque rage towards Bruce Bochy or Chris Young this year. Nothing towards what John Daniels ever caught.
Well, and there's a banner that justifies that, right? And that's why, you know, one fly ball to right field totally changed the way we talk about John Daniels. I mean, it's really that simple. And with Chris Young, you know, he's he's brought a World Series to this organization. And here's the deal. Like, I don't think when you look at the roster, like I heard what you were saying about Jonah Heim and whatnot, and those are all fair questions. But when you look at the roster, it's tough to fault Chris Young because it is a really talented roster. And I mean, who would look at this roster and say, man, they did a terrible job trying to put together a team good enough to make the playoffs again, right? It's just the guys who didn't perform, guys who did not meet the expectation. Now, the question is going to be this offseason, how do they evaluate some of these guys? Jonah Heim, Marcus Semien, Adolis Garcia, Leody Taveras, Nathaniel Lowe. You know, and I threw Semien in there not because I think he's going anywhere. He's not. But I think they got to ask themselves who he is offensively when they're trying to build a lineup this offseason. You know, you know that Corey Seager's your two hitter, right? Or, you know, whether he hits two or whatever, you know, all right, hey, Corey Seager, I got a stud. I think you feel really good about Josh Young. Josh Young has not been good since he's come back from injury, but to be honest with you, I said this a ton when he was hurt, that this should be the expectation because guys coming back from major wrist injuries typically do not have a lot of success right away. I think you feel good about Josh Young. I think you feel good about the growth of Wyatt Langford. But I think you have a lot of questions about, you know, who fits what role and what some of the guys who have struggled this year are likely to be next year, whether it's a bounce back, whether this year is more of a sign of what's to come. I think those are some of the tough questions. And so I think how Chris Young responds to the season is going to be really interesting.
Jared Sandler joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. You mentioned there the idea of trying to evaluate, I guess just to kind of like boil it down, trying to evaluate, like, was last year these guys, like is that who they really were? Or is this year who they really are? And how do you respond to that? And how do you build on that moving forward? Let's say they evaluate and they say, we need to make some changes because we think these guys aren't going to reach that level again. What legitimately, like options do they have to really be better next year if financially things are tight and the guys knocking on the door from the minor league system are not necessarily or don't appear to be big time MLB ready hitters?
Yeah, so Bobby, I think it's a great question. I think
long
to some
too.
Degree,
the long one too.
Yeah. I think to some degree you have to bank on the presence of Evan Carter helping, and that they're, you know, that to me, by the way, guys, Evan Carter missing a year of growth and development kind of stinks. I know he was great last year, and you might think, oh, you know, it doesn't need a lot of growth and development. No, he absolutely does. I mean, watch, you know, when he was healthy. But to me, more than that, it's hitting lefties, right? It feels like he almost is set back a year now in his development against lefties. But I think you have to assume to some degree, because you're committed to these guys, that the presence of Evan Carter will help. Wyatt Langford is going to be a lot better next year than he's been this year. You're going to have a healthy, hopefully, Josh Young, which that's a fair question, right? Because, you know, that has not been a constant for him. But those guys have to be better, first and foremost. You need – and then they're going to have to be creative, Bobby. I think that's a – you know, your question is valid because what are they going to do with Adolis Garcia? If they move on from him, all right, that's $9.5 million that they can navigate. And they can find, you know, a guy who makes their lineup better for that price. You know, you have to be smart. It can't just be a Juan Soto, right? You know, like, and if it's Juan Soto, it's great. But there are guys who every offseason get signed for these deals where they're somewhat, you know, bargains, but they fit a specific role or they help balance out a lineup or they do something that really makes a big difference. And those are the types of moves, frankly, that, you know, John Daniels was pretty good at making. And those are the types of moves that I think Chris Young's going to have to make this offseason to try and figure out what to do with this lineup if there are financial constraints. I don't know what this TV deal is going to look like next year. I don't know what the financial situation is going to be. But I think it is realistic, as you know, you kind of insinuated with your question, to assume that the Rangers aren't going to be able to write, you know, a Juan Soto type check, that they're going to have to, you know, be smart with the way they go shopping.
The Dallas Morning News and other outlets reported, I believe in June, that Chris Young was in negotiations to stay. Do you fully expect Chris Young to be back?
I do. I think I mean, I've never owned a baseball team before. I've never,
thank God,
owned a company
broke boy,
or anything
broke
like
boy.
You'd have yeah, a, you'd have yeah. Odor starting everywhere.
Yeah, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. He'd already be in the Rangers Hall of Fame. And there'd be fewer people that would show up for that than the Beltre thing the other day, which was really disappointing. But ooh, whatever. I would think that when you win a World Series and you've got 1 year left on your deal, it doesn't even need to be a priority because, you know, that guy's not going anywhere. But at some point you'd want on your off season to-do list to extend the GM. But that's not really this ownership group's MO. You know, they typically wait a little bit longer than most to do these sorts of things. You know, I would hope that something would get done in September, you know, as it becomes obviously more and more clear that the Rangers are not playing for anything from a postseason standpoint. I think Chris Young obviously deserves it. I'm curious, I guess. I know there's always people on both sides of the fence. I'd really love to hear someone's argument who says that he does not deserve an extension. No one's saying you need to commit to him for the next 20 years, but he unequivocally deserves to be this team's general manager. I mean, he first year on the job in full and he wins a World Series. I hope it gets done sooner rather than later. I don't know what discussions have or have not gone down. So maybe Chris Young sitting there like, hey, I'm not worried about it because, you know, I know what this is going to get done next week or so, you know, I don't know. But they absolutely cannot complete this season and not have Chris Young extended because you need to know who's navigating the ship, and he deserves to be that guy. And I think that he deserves to have that taken care of within the season so that he don't have to go into the off season dealing with this.
Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker are generating a lot of buzz right now for the way that they've been pitching in the last, you know, month or two. How excited or real should that feel? Is it just cautious optimism right now about those two? And specifically, how important is it for that to be real, given some of these struggles of other high-profile pitchers in the system like Brock Porter and Owen White?
Yeah, Kumar Rocker looks like a man amongst boys in Double-A. Going, you know, watching some of the film, obviously I'm not watching these starts live. He looks really impressive, and I would think that he would get a bump up to Triple-A soon. And I fully expect Kumar Rocker to be on the opening day roster. Or if not, he would be on the major league roster very shortly after, you know, the season starts. And with Jack Leiter, yeah, I mean, listen, the three starts he made at the big league level have kind of clouded opinions on Jack, but the reality is this has been a great year for him. He went from a 2023 season in which he struggled in Double A to a 2024 season in which he has had a lot of success in Triple A. And let's not forget that some of these Triple A environments and ballparks are like Coors Field, right? I mean, you know, going to Salt Lake and Vegas and Albuquerque, I mean, these are some launching pads. And so it's not uncommon that you see a guy in the Pacific Coast League with some numbers on the mound. It's like, oh, these aren't as great as I'd expect. But then you look at some of the context, but he's been really, really good. And how will that translate to the major league level, you know, remains to be seen. I think he'll come up at some point again between now and the end of the season and get a few more opportunities. I'm going to say this now. I don't care whether he gets shelled or whether he dominates when he comes up or anything in between. This has been a successful year for Jack. He is not 30 years old. He also is probably not ever going to be an ace of a staff. That was, you know, I know he was the second overall pick, but when he was drafted, most people said, hey, this guy's probably going to be a really good middle of the rotation starter. Maybe if things all work out, maybe he can be a two. But you know, no one necessarily thought Jack Leiter was going to be like a Jacob deGrom or an ace type pitcher. And if he becomes that, great, right? You know, these guys exceed expectations all the time. But I think he still has, there's every reason to believe he still can be a really good part of this team's rotation. And I think this year is a big step forward. And you're right, Bobby, these are two success stories that I think could help immensely. One, I think it helps send a message around the league that, hey, you know, the Rangers can develop pitching, right? With this new regime and some of the new philosophies and practices and people in place to help with that, that it is something that this organization is able to do. But I just think in general, it's tough to, you know, you guys, we talked earlier about sustaining success. If you look at any team that has sustained success over a long period of time in Major League Baseball, it is awfully tough to do so if you're not getting a whole lot from the pitching side from your minor league system. You can go out and spend and buy and shop in the offseason all you want. You have got to get something from your minor league system on the mound. And the Rangers just have not been able to do that. And I think these two guys, plus Emiliano Teodo, so that's three guys who I have full confidence will be big time or legitimate contributors, I should say, to next year's team.
Jared Sandler, D&M Leasing Hotline from your Texas Rangers, also organizing happy hours all throughout the Metroplex. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, every year we have our Sandlot Children's Charity Happy Hour, the prelude to our big event in December, which will be back at Globe Life Field. Tickets will officially go on sale for that a week from today, Thursday, at the Happy Hour. The Happy Hour is at Preston Playhouse, which is right off of Preston and LBJ. If you go to @JaredSandler on Twitter, the address is there. Preston Playhouse is an indoor pickleball center. The Happy Hour is free to attend. And I know a lot of you guys will be there. So if people want to come out and watch Bobby Belt play pickleball, then
hell yeah,
you're more than welcome to. It's free to go. There's food. You don't have to play pickleball. Pickleball is there. So if you want to play, great. But there's plenty of space just to hang out, mingle, food, drinks. We're going to have a little mini auction like we always do. We're also going to be giving out around $70,000 in grants to several really worthy organizations. You go to thesandlot.org/events. We'd love for people to RSVP just for headcount purposes. It's not required. So if you wake up Thursday, you forget, doesn't mean you can't show up. Again, it is free next Thursday at Preston Playhouse. Hope to see people there.
I miss you, man. I need some Jared time in my life. I'm tired of hitting up Bobby.
I miss you too.
Go to the pickleball court, Sean.
Yeah. Bring Ollie.
Yeah, and the four-month-old, too. I'll just put her out there with a rag. I need the Ranger season to end, and I need a full night's commitment of hanging. No, I got to be somewhere else in 2 hours. No watch checking and nothing the next morning. I need a free Sandler Rage night penned in for when it can happen and take place. Okay?
That's easy, yeah. Hey, quickly, I'm about to go to Canton. I've never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Have you guys been?
No.
I've only been to Cooperstown. You're going today?
I'm going today. I'm leaving in 20 minutes. I've never been to Cooperstown either. This is going to be I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, but it was in 2015 when the Rangers were in the playoffs in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I had to just do it in an hour, which you don't actually do it. So yeah. I kind of browsed. This is going to be my first full Hall of Fame experience. I'm pretty excited.
Ask him.
I'll go see the Darren Woodson bus.
Yeah, I was gonna say, ask him where Darren Woodson's his setup is.
I might like pick it outside with a Darren Woodson sign.
Have fun. Love you, man. Thank you.
Love you, fellas. See ya.
Jared Sandler on the D&M Leasing Hotline on your home for Rangers baseball. Let's hook you up.
All right, Tolos, right now, call a number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Cat Williams at the Windstar Royal Casino and Resort on September 27th. That's call a number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Before you answer the phone to hook up a Tolo for turning it on, leaving it on Seth and McKinney on the Odyssey app answering if he has Rangers post-championship outrage a year after winning it all.
I think when watching the playoffs last year, a lot of us extrapolated performances like Adolis, Evan Carter, and just assumed that's who these guys are going to be for, multiple years after that. When now looking back, it looks like that might have been the peak for some of these guys. I hope that's not the case for Evan Carter, but you look at guys like Jonah Heim and Adolis Garcia, and that's maybe just not what we can expect from those guys year in and year out. And we should look at it more that we're lucky they played that well in the postseason and not that we're unlucky that they've kind of regressed to the mean this year.
Great take. Great take, Seth and McKinney. Now I'm talking like
Great
Peyton.
Tath.
Now I'm speaking like Peyton. Hit the damn intro.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Burn bans, fun police, and Rockwall ISD. All things to cover here in the Neighborhood Watch. This is your weekly DFW neighborhood-centric segment. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. You're shaking your head. What did I do?
Dude, the burn ban last night, it scared me for a little bit.
Did it?
Yep. Reading all that, I'm like, here I am. I just built a new house, built a new pool, and we just came back from California. And
California.
That freaking story, that put a little fear down my spine. I'm like, where is the rain? We need the daggone rain.
Well, we're going to jump into that one. That'll be our lead news story. First, we're going to go to our Facebook community group post of the week. And this one comes to us from This Is Mesquite. And over in This
my
Is
neck
Mesquite,
of the woods.
Close to it, yeah. And we'll be over in the neck of the woods of Saxe, by the way, tomorrow for the Firehouse Tour. Firehouse number 1, 5805 Bryan Street. Come out and see us from 6 to 10. Over in This Is Mesquite, there's a rant over there that got a lot of interaction. And the poster says, parents need to teach their kids how to cross the street if they're going to be walking home. Some little kid almost got ran over near McKenzie Elementary. He didn't even look both ways. He ran to the middle of the street and slowed down, then ran to the other side while his friends just laughed. I'm not sure if he didn't know how to cross or they were just trying to trick drivers. But as parents, we need to do better. I know drivers need to slow down and watch out for kids, but when kids do this kind of BS, you never know what can happen. And there's a bunch of people loading it up of like, yes, please. The amount of kids walking home who just decide they're going to screw with the drivers coming by or try and act like squirrels, basically run down the street and darting back.
TikTok challenge.
Dude, and this is...
we need to teach adults, number one. How many times a month do you look at someone who's like, you're like, you're daring me to hit you. You don't care. Like, how are you not turning around? How have you not been hit before in your life crossing the street? It happens to me 2 or 3 times a month, at least from adults.
I've been meaning to tell you guys this. This was a month ago. I was driving in and it had rattled me and I forgot to bring it up, but we were driving. I was on the tollway or the toll lane for 35. And as I'm riding through there, it kind of dips below the rest of 35 the closer you get to downtown before the tollway ends. Some guy was crawling up from under like the main part of 35, saw my car coming and was just like, got on the edge and slow walking across the street. I was
50% of the time it may be like a homeless person. Like yesterday, driving home, someone was sleeping on a curb and like the head was like hanging off the curb. Jeez. And I was like, oh my gosh, like if I wasn't paying attention, you shift a little bit right, bam, they're sitting there decapitating someone. But no, I feel like there's adults, they either don't care, they're like, do it, hit me, I dare you. Dare you to go
there's
ahead
a little, yeah, because it feels like they're just kind of screwing with you a lot of times, because it's usually like middle school age kids who are, you know, screwing around and trying to mess with drivers a little bit. I did similar things probably when I was a kid. I don't remember specifically.
No, I didn't screw around with moving vehicles and cars.
I screwed around with people though, like as we were walking
other
home.
Way walking home.
Yeah, if we're walking home from like going
what?
To the like if we're going and to
where
the gym
were you walking home
else.
From? You didn't walk to school.
I didn't walk to school, but I would walk to the
from the mailbox back.
The Farmers Branch Rec Center D.
Oh, yeah, 22nd. I'm screwing you.
The Rec Center or the pool during the summer in Farmers Branch, the Don Showman pool. Thank you.
What did you say, Pepe?
Said the ice cream truck.
You done? Everybody got their line out? Anybody need their next one?
From getting the paper outside?
But yes, talk to your kids about that, because a bunch of, this is something that we see every day driving home. Somebody just either not being aware of it and kids just having no awareness and just running across the street to cross, or
I'm already
trying to screw with drivers.
Scaring the life out of Ollie with like, hold my hand. You cannot wander off. Don't get 2 steps away ever, ever. You will die.
Yeah, you now understand when you see the people with leashes on their kids. You're like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get the leash child now.
I do.
Burn bans are back in North Texas, but Dallas County is digging in the way I do on Trey Lance. They're saying, hell no, not for us. We're not doing this. Even though the Metroplex isn't really experiencing drought conditions, like if you look at the WFAA, I talked about this, there's not actually a drought really going on with most of North Texas. But
when is the last time it's heavily rained? Brunoff, send me an email.
What, a month ago, probably, I feel like. Just about every county in DFW has implemented a burn ban, though, like right in the Metroplex. Dallas County hasn't. Denton and Collin haven't. Tarrant is the biggest one so far that has put one in. But
now, burn ban means what?
It's like you can't have open fires or other things. Like, you can't, basically anything that causes a flame, you can't be burning anything in the county on that day. Now, it's a little different from county to county. Some counties just have a burn ban in place right now. Other ones, according to WFAA, have burn bans in place for the day, depending on what, like, the environmental elements are. And you have to call and check that day to see, hey, is there a burn ban in place? Because some days it may be on, some days it may be off. But a lot of them are just in place right now. Like, Wise County and Parker counties only have burn bans for the day, depending on air quality conditions. And so you have to know in those areas if you've got one for that day. But why is there a burn ban if we're not in a drought? Well, so the rain from the spring, where we got a bunch of different heavy rain events and got plenty of water during that time, caused a bunch of healthy grass to grow. Sean, much like the grass that gets cut in Peyton's yard by his neighbor, caused a lot of healthy grass growth. That leads to a hot summer that is causing that tall grass to now dry out and wilt and act as basically a potential accelerant for any flame that touches it. So I hadn't thought of this aspect of it before. I would always think, well, if we're not in a drought, like, you don't have to worry about it. But they're like, no, if you've actually gotten a decent amount of rain before and you've got a decent amount of grass everywhere, it hasn't just been drought conditions, you've got more that can potentially set on fire and just get lit up. The fun police have arrived, Sean, and it's the literal police, actually. Illegal gambling machines have been seized in DeSoto this week. And I don't want to dry snitch here, okay? So I'm not going to get into specifics. But this machine that I see here, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to turn it around. This is one of the illegal gambling machines that was taken out of DeSoto. Do you see it here?
Okay, I see.
Have you ever seen one of those?
It looks like one of those that you sit in the airport we're flying back from Vegas.
I've seen these in a few different places around DFW, like in bars and in, like, gas stations where you could actually win money. It's not a lot.
Oh.
But you could, and so.
How is that legal?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I just assumed they were legal because I was like, who would put these in here? But I mean, I see them. I can think of like six places off the top of my head that have them. And it made me start thinking, like, is there a lot of illegal gambling going on, or does it matter how many machines it is? Are there restrictions on, like, what those machines are allowed to be? Are these ones in DeSoto? Because there's not a lot of details. Just said that a bunch of them were seized out of these two gas stations in DeSoto. And to me, it's like, all right, it was over on Pleasant Run Road and then another on Polk Street.
Ask the degenerate back here.
Peyton, are you not allowed to have anything like this, like a machine that wins you any money? I know the fan text will tell us.
I don't understand that you can't have machines like that, but then you can have scratch-offs. Like, you're still winning money. It's still Texas. I don't understand that part. Now, it just depends, because some of these machines that, you know, you see online, it's like you can play them, but you're not able to win any money off it. That's different. But if you're able to win a profit, then yeah, I can see why it's illegal.
All right, so we're getting some of the answers on the fan text. 972, they're not legal. Bobby, there's tons of illegal gambling in Texas. That makes sense.
But how can they just have an illegal gambling machine for when a police officer walks in?
Here's what 682 and a bunch of, let's see here. It's 682, 903, 214. They're all weighing in saying you're not supposed to have a cash payout. You're supposed to win store credit is how most of them are supposed to be set up. So whatever you win is for credit there within the facility.
You're up to over 600 people right now for the Neighborhood Watch, by the way.
People care about what's going on in DFW, even on YouTube, Twitch, and everywhere else. They want to know what's going on with the Neighborhood Watch. But the store credit angle, I guess that's how some of them don't get caught, is if somebody just sees the machine, they may not naturally think it's set up with cash or whatever else. But I've seen some of these. I guess I'll just have to test them out and see if they have actual cash or if they're for store credit and then report back.
Are you allowed to NFL Network?
I mean, if it's for store credit, I am, okay. I guess. An update on the Rockwall story from last week.
Whoa, this blew up.
Yeah, parents are not letting this one fade away. It's nice to see the rest of news organizations like Dallas Morning News finally cover this a week after we did, after we were the ones to talk about the Rockwall ISD accusation. Quick recap, if you haven't heard it, there's a teacher out there in Rockwall ISD who's accused of sexual assault of a child, a student the prior year. Investigation was done. Nothing was found concrete, but there are a lot of parents who are upset she's being allowed back as a teacher this year.
Yeah, and Sean Rabb of the fan.
And mainly because they felt like the school didn't communicate. Even for people who say, fine, if you say she's innocent or there's not enough to prosecute her, you should have told us these details. You should have been upfront with them. We shouldn't have to have like come and found them out. Well, Rockwell ISD is finally speaking publicly about this, releasing statements, talking about some of the changes that they've made. They said that public trust is a priority for Rockwell ISD. District administration is working with counsel to understand current state legislation relating to cameras in early childhood general education classrooms, because that was one of the discussions, was why do you only have 30 days worth of footage where you could have potentially gotten the evidence on this teacher that you needed if you kept a longer amount of time. And cloud storage is expensive, and it takes up a lot of space, and so a lot of districts don't keep more than that.
Get DFW security.
So they are saying that they will, Rockwell ISD is responding to this and say that they are looking into expanding their cloud service and how much they can store on there. But they did mention, they went in their official statement and said, these were all the people that investigated, all the things that happened. There was nothing found. Nothing we can do. If she's innocent,
Choppy would be applauding.
Legally,
this.
She's innocent. I totally get both sides being frustrated by this, though. The people who support and say, she's innocent. She's been found innocent. You can't hold this against her. And the other side that says, man, that seems like a he said, she said thing, that it's really tough to just accept that, oh, she must be innocent.
A win for OU over Texas. And there are now two people apparently better than Patrick Mahomes at playing quarterback. Bobby Belt wants to steal RJ Choppy's segment. A Thursday edition of the College Football Kegger is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.